1, 1, 2. Things would get better if we stick together. Just like a power couple, we could be lit together. Or be ratchet and not be shit together. Or on our Bonnie and Clyde, shouldn't be with whatever. This ain't a breakup song, I'm trying to unite. So I'm listening, I wanna know what you like. But I know mama taught me how to treat a lady. Grandma told me, think before you act crazy. Great woman in my life, made a humble man. Try and stay up on my feet and I stumbled then. But y'all be there to have a brother back though. A real strong woman is a backbone. If you don't know that, then you don't know ish. So I need uno, one that I could grow with. Uno, let me translate for you slow kids. There's plenty in the sea, but I ain't trying to go fish. Pretty brown skin, pretty brown eyes. With your thick lips and your thick thighs. It's unconditional and not a romance. In front of any obstacle, we just gotta hold hands. Cause things that get better if we stick together. Things that get better if we stick together.
Yeah,
I promise like, things that get better if we stick together.
Yeah,
I know things that get better if we. They say a crown that
beat. No one cares. Okay. Anyway, I already hit record. So.
Oh, shoot.
That's on episode. I ain't deleting it because I don't feel like editing.
Okay.
So, welcome back. I don't even know what episode of the season is. Is this 16? Did we get the 6? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Tony don't know.
We're
he
out there.
He don't know.
I don't know.
He don't know. Tony don't know nothing except what's in that book. How's that going? Can you keep us abreast without going into detail?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Never mind. So much content.
Just call it episode 15-ish.
Ish. Okay.
We have to introduce our guest, though.
No, we don't.
We don't.
Well, one's not a guest.
But we do have a new
You ain't guest. Introduce yourself. We got to go in order, Tony. It's Chris. Welcome back. It's Complicated Simplicity. Woo, 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 woo. Your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's Tony. And I'm excited to be here because guess what? I have three of my good friends here.
Three? Well, I'm here every week. All right, I'm sorry. Go. You're
sharing,
right.
We're sharing a space.
This is good. This is good company. These are like my homies. So I want to kick off the first like new homie is my friend Monster Mai. She run Pyramid Monster. Tire. And
right, that we gave a shout out to on one of the early episodes.
Yeah, that was the first episode.
In Sickleville. She's one of her nine businesses.
Not one of her nine businesses. What's up, Monster Mai?
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Monster Mai.
So, yes, Mai is here, and we have our returning guest, which after this time, we're not going to call our guest no more. We're just going to call our part-time host.
I dabble in here.
Yeah, you dabble. So we have Nicole. We don't have a... Wait, we got Monster Mai, Pretty Tony. We don't have a Nicole name.
Nasty Nikki. Yeah.
Hey, you. Oh. Nasty. Yo, she said... You see how she tried to say it all sexy, too?
But it rhymes.
It don't rhyme.
It goes, like...
You got
close to the microphone.
Right,
nasty.
Right. I'm going to have to wash my pop filter off. Wash the mic when we're done with this, John. This is not that kind of microphone, Nicole. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
And it went.
Yeah, we got Nasty Nikki in the building. Holla. They are filling in for Ty.
For Fly Ty.
Yes, still living her best life in the trailer park.
Yo.
Oh, my gosh.
What? It is. An RV community is a trailer park. It's the same
Some thing. Of them are really nice, though.
So grandma lives in a trailer. It's really nice.
Yeah, sometimes like glamping.
Right. Yeah, it's not the one with the wheels on it.
Like glamping. It's a portable, it's really, like, you can make it up. Some of them are really nice.
I mean, she could. Like, yeah, it would be pretty difficult, but yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's really nice.
Cool.
But yeah. She's still in the trailer park. But, yeah, so we here to talk about stuff. But before we do that, you know, we got to do the weekly check-in. How's everybody feeling? Anything exciting happen? No? Yes? We not getting the stimmies we thought we was getting? we're getting the stimmy. We're getting the poor stimmy.
The poor one.
Yeah, the rich one. People didn't think that we deserved to pay our rent and mortgage this month.
This is what we've been waiting for since May. Yo. This is what we were waiting for. $600. I don't know what that covers for y'all, but that only covers my car insurance.
That might be. That's, yeah. Yeah, same exact thing.
And some takeout. A little bit left over.
One time taken out. And if you do a DoorDash, you're not even getting that because they charge you like $12 in fees. So
DoorDash is pretty expensive.
Yeah. What?
Wow. It's expensive.
One of them Joneses, I went to order some food. It was $10 before I started. It was $6.99 for the delivery fee. And then like $3.50 like service fee. Mm-mm. Like I didn't even eat yet, money. Like I just closed the app. Like I'm not that rich. You gotta get a gift card to order food out. But I'm trying to think. Did anything happen to me over the past week? No, I was in the house. Christmas. No, I did leave the house. Oh, my cousins like they Christmas passed. Duh. Mm-hmm. What y'all doing? Ain't nobody doing like go anywhere on Christmas.
I was telling them I watched Wonder Woman. That was a bust.
Yeah.
I didn't really.
I heard Wonder Woman was trash.
Yeah, I heard it was
a little
bad.
Trash. The movie Soul was good.
Soul was fire.
Plus, I love that.
Soul was really good. Shout out to Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, that was an amazing movie.
Yeah, I didn't really do anything. I had my Christmas morning thing here. And then I spent some time with my mom. Like, I went to my dad's house, dropped off his gift, then I dropped off my mom's gift. But I, like, stayed at my mom's house. Because she was cooking when I got there. And when I say she was cooking, she was cooking. Like, it was, it looked like Thanksgiving for Christmas.
So, did she make that cake?
What? She didn't make that cake.
What's that cake?
Yo,
that cake is good.
My mom make this. Is it a pound cake? I don't even know what kind of cake it was, but it was like a pound cake with glazed.
Yeah.
You had it before, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, it was, what was that, 4th of July?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4th of July.
You were missing.
Dang.
Yeah, you were MIA.
We did something for 4th of July?
Yeah.
Collectively as a group?
No, here. No, you weren't here.
He sent out a group text. You didn't make it.
And you didn't come.
So you missed the cake.
Nigga. Did you? He was trying to make us feel bad. Like, we did something collectively.
Yeah, right.
We did, yes.
As a unit, we did.
Yeah.
You were missing.
I don't know where you were, but we did something. It was like right after Juneteenth. Showed up for that. Oh, well, isn't that you like Mariah more to me? Wow.
I don't like none of y'all niggas.
for real. But yeah, that was it. And then like I went over my cousin's house. They bought a new house. It's very, very nice. Mm. Congratulations to them. They doing big things. My little cousin, you know, he did his national letter of intent signing video thing. And he got named All-State. For football this year. He doing,
that's good.
Yeah, he's doing real good.
That's really good.
So he's going to the Naval Academy. I always like, I like the Naval Academy, but like, I feel like they make you learn how to swim.
Well.
So I was never down.
Isn't that the Navy? You
can't do that.
I mean, like, I'm still on a boat. Like, why? But I got to learn how to be in the water for it. Like, is that part of it? Like, I'm not joining the scuba team, nigga. Like,
the scuba team.
Like, we supposed to stay on the boat, fly some ships off. Fly the planes off the ship, shoot people. That's it. That's what's getting the water. So yeah, that was never on in the cards for me. That was pretty much it. Oh, so do anybody got any like? I know this is like kind of repetitive because nobody's really doing anything COVID. But is anybody doing anything for New Year's?
No. Nicole, aren't you coming over?
Yeah, I think that's really it. I think we're just gonna get wine drunk and forget.
Did you hear about that one, Maya?
No.
Well, I just called him and bothered him because I'm going to be spouseless on New Year's Eve.
Aww.
So I was just like, hey, I'm going to come over.
That sounds really depressing. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, I'm going to be spouseless, so I want to come over and get wine drunk.
I mean, what else is there to do? There's nowhere to go. I was looking at rooftops in Philly, but you got to like rent out the little plastic covering thing, little tent,
you put yourself in a bubble.
Yeah, a little igloo. I don't know. That's a waste of money.
I wish it was like going to be nice out, like at least like somewhat semi warm.
Then we could have
put
up like a put up the what's that thing called projector screen and watch the countdown. Yeah, it's like 12 degrees outside. Like I'm good.
Yeah, it's
like,
too cool.
I'll be in a show with the heat on hell.
It's cold as hell.
I don't even like staying up to watch the ball drop no more. Like, it's not a thing for me.
Are they dropping the ball this year?
Yeah, they're still doing
Wait, New York is going to have people in a thing?
Ryan Seacrest is still doing it. People, there's people performing and everything.
If they don't Zoom.
New York is hot. Oh, I don't care.
The epicenter.
But maybe they'll be performing from like different areas.
Like the way they've been doing all these award shows where like they record it and then send it.
How are you going to make the crowd social distance?
Maybe it's not going to be people.
It's not going to have.
Yeah.
Have,
oh,
that'd be so that's whack.
Weird. That's weird.
Because I feel like that's like, to me, it sounds childish, but I feel like it's such a magical moment. Like when everybody's in the streets in New York City and then they're waiting for the ball to drop and it drops and then everybody's just
And then
just
they start kissing
happy.
A bunch of strangers and all that kind of
but
weird stuff.
Just happy
See,
for that
that's
one
why they can't
second.
Do it. Yep. That's why you can't, because you're going to spread COVID and mono.
mono.
Like, that, I've always thought that was a weird tradition. Like, even when, like, we used to, like, go out and stuff. Like, if you're a stranger, don't walk up to me and try to kiss me in my mouth.
There yeah, no, a, yeah I didn't know they did that.
There's a girl I knew from high school named Kelly. She used to have mono a lot. I didn't know what that was.
I'm just mad you said a name.
I do.
Wait, she had it a lot? What does that mean?
Yeah, she had like three times. I was like, what is that?
I didn't know you could just like keep getting it.
People in our high
school
had it.
Yeah.
Mm. Were they all kissing Kelly? I mean,
probably.
That's not a common thing to just be like, oh, we kept getting
she
it.
She was out for like three times during my, like, the only way I knew about mine was because Kelly had it a lot. So I was like, what is that?
That's wild.
Lord. I'm going to sip my drink to that one.
I'm pretty sure Kelly, whoever this she is, does not listen.
No.
So.
She does. You can't get mad at me. You had mono. Like, you had it.
Y'all disgusting. Yo, Tony, you're really a mean person. Now I see what Ty was talking about. The spirit of Ty is here. I got your back. Yes, that nigga Tony is wild. You gonna get mad at me. You had mono.
Like,
she said the whole mind of her business. Now she got reminded of 12 years ago where she had three different bouts with mono in 1 year. She had the original COVID. Poor thing. Well, yeah. So before we get into these topics, anybody got anything they want to randomly say? Anybody they want to shout out? Any businesses they done came across that they had a good experience with?
Any businesses?
Unless it's a black business that like.
Oh.
Oh.
I know one.
Oh, go ahead. Do your thing.
I want to shout out Mashiach over at Suite 105 in Sicklerville.
Okay.
It's a entertainment venue. Well, a venue for like if you want to do parties and things like that.
Is that the one you brought me to that one time?
Yeah, I did.
It's so
it's
nice
really
there.
Nice in there.
Yeah.
If you're looking for like small event space, it's in Sicklerville. I have to get the exact address.
Is
but,
that, okay, never mind.
It's right off of Sickler. What is that? Cross Keys Road.
Okay. Isn't that right next to the Wawa? Right.
Yeah, it is next to the Wawa.
Oh, okay.
And the Jamaican spot or Haitian spot. Isn't that little plaza right there? I don't know. Right there. Is that Sicklerville Road?
Oh, by the big Wawa.
Yeah,
the
big where we did the protest.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's right there.
Oh, I had no idea. Well, shout out to them. And once we get more of their information, we'll drop that in as well. But, yeah, as far as the topics go, so it was a very impromptu conversation that we had the other night that we didn't plan on having that ended up having us up till 12:45.
Y'all were there that long?
Yes. You don't remember? You fell asleep three times.
We were there for a while. I was tired at work the next day.
I'm sorry. Not really. I don't think I had work the next day.
No, y'all didn't have work because it was a Sunday.
Yikes.
Well, what we had, y'all came over, Nicole baked cookies.
They were some mid.
It was. And we started talking about gender roles and we got a little preface. I think it was an interesting topic. I would like to hear a little bit more about it. So I want to hear. So my role is I'm going to because I feel like I don't abide by the same gender rules. So I want to hear more about it from you guys.
Well, we want to hear from you, too.
Yeah.
So you're not just going to sit back.
I feel like there's no gender roles in your type of relationships.
And
there is.
Y'all just.
We going to chill.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to hear from y'all.
Well,
y'all was sitting here talking, especially
right.
Y'all was getting like into
y'all was getting into Maya.
Y'all.
Monster Maya. What?
Chris, you was getting into
Chris,
it too.
I get into everything. Every conversation I turn up. It don't matter
Literally,
what it
right,
is. So, yeah, I'm just opinionated. I can't help it. And I'll be wrong. I'll be loud and wrong so much.
You've been wrong.
Oh man.
Wait, so I guess to start it off, what was that thing you guys saw on Instagram?
It was a quote I saw on Instagram basically saying nowadays in this generation that men date women's bodies and women date men's pockets. There's no love really involved.
How do you feel about that, Maya? Monster Maya?
Honestly, I do feel like, to an extent, that is true in some situations. I mean, I don't think that that's applicable in my life or necessarily anyone in this room's situation, but I definitely think that that is an issue, and I definitely think that social media plays a lot on that. And so, sadly, to an extent, I will agree that that is somewhat true.
For both parties?
I mean, when a lot of times when men do have money, they look at, they can pick from the top. They can choose what they, you know, from the top. So I definitely could see how men, you know, with a lot of money are attracted to females that have those bodies that they are able to pay for. And likewise, those women that have spent $20,000-$30,000 on their bodies, they're not looking for your average man. They're looking for someone that can provide or, you know, give them the life that they're accustomed to, which is a lot of times why they spend all that money for that body to begin with.
That sounds like a circle.
Like, it does. A vicious circle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's savage. Trust me.
She said, trust me. Like, I mean, like she just got,
I mean,
like she just put $10,000 on some hips.
It doesn't apply to me, but at the same time, like, I do work in the bar industry, so I have come across females that has spent money, lots of money, on their bodies, all in the, you know, with the likes that they're going to get tipped more money, that they're going to, you know, get attract that particular gentleman that they're trying to attract.
Does it work?
I mean, they think it works, but I think it's also with it more money, more problems. Like, you're dealing with guys in those brackets and you're looking for, it's a whole nother Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so if he can, it sounds like to me, like if he can buy you, he can buy somebody else too.
Basically. And that's kind of it.
We're aspiring to that?
Some women are aspiring to that. Not all women.
Transactions. Transactional.
And I think also too, like, I'm sorry, like, I feel like being a good woman, I am not a prostitute. Like, you can't.
Oh, that's like, the P word.
Like, it's not like, oh yeah, like you about to trick on me and do all this. Like, no, like it's just not. I think that quote is true to what's going on right now in this day and age, especially on social media. And I do think men who have all this money, they want to have the baddest bitch. Like, so they pick somebody who has this done and this done. But what are you really searching for? No, that person's not real. They're not even authentic to themselves. So I just think it's all, I don't know.
I don't think men are the only, I'm not saying that you're saying this, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think men are the only shallow ones. In
no, women are definitely shallow too. Yeah. You see some women, you're like, why is she with him? But look at his pockets. He may be ugly.
But is that a new generation thing? Women? I mean, it's been, like, ain't nobody, I mean, back in my grandma's day, they wasn't dating no broke man either, so.
I mean, but there's a difference.
Earl had a good shot. Earl come over here and fix the toilet. You're like, you know what? Earl's handy. I'm keeping him around.
But it's like that thing where it was, what was that argument on social media? And they were like, oh, buy me a Birkin. Like, it was a whole Birkin argument going around. Like, no. Like,
if he can't buy you a Birkin,
that is get so you a corny. New one
or something like that. Like, dang, I can't so buy you no Birkin. Yeah. Like, I can't buy you no Birkin.
But that's what I'm saying. But why do we aspire to have materialistic things? Like, why is it not based on love, friendship, like something actually genuine? It's all about possessions and I can flash better than the next person next to me. It's I don't know.
So the girl showing off the rich guy, and the guy is showing off the bad girl.
Mm-hmm.
So who can get the man with the most money, and then who can get the girl with the baddest bad?
Yeah. Baddest bad.
Right. The biggest ass, the biggest tits. That's just what it is.
They fixing their teeth now too.
They fixing. Yeah. They're doing a everything. Lot of things.
Everything. Mm-hmm. People are even getting their toes shortened.
Oh,
really? That's a thing.
Yes. It's, You can,
what?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're gonna introduce me to a whole other world right now. How do you get your toes shortened? You get them like shaved down?
They like surgically. They will
open it up and like snip it?
Yeah, like shave it down, I guess. Is
what? And then like reseal your toe.
No long toe that's bitches in 2020. No.
Dude. Get so, Nicole, they can even out your toes.
Hey, yo. You're not about to clown me, bro.
Yo, I've been messing with Nicole about her toes since like the day that I first seen them. Like, I don't know what it is.
The first day she whipped them out?
The first time she whipped them bad boys out. I was like, wait a minute.
I actually have cute feet, though. Let's not do that. Let's not do that. You said it when we was in Miami. Stop.
They cool. They not. They definitely not. Oh, put those away.
No, I don't know.
It's just like, they be like flipping you off. Like the middle one is bad. The middle toe long.
My middle toe might be long, but my head not as big as yours.
It's close. It's just that I'm bald and you have hair to cover yours. Get a baldy and stand next to me. All right.
Never get a baldy, ever.
Get you a shortcut. Mm-mm. So yeah, as it pertains to like stuff with this whole like men date bodies, women date pockets. Yes, I think that that's very prevalent. I think that is something that takes place quite often. But I think it is deeper than that on both sides. But I think that it, like for women, it's not that they date pockets. It's just that they have, there's a lot of standards that are put onto a man, and the standards are financially based. A lot of times it doesn't matter what else a dude brings to the table if he has a lot of money. Which is why you'll see a lot of dudes who don't have great character, who beat women, who mess around with a bunch of women and never commit to any of them, or, you know, have a bunch of, why they can still actively date and be successful at it because they financially can do so, or because they have the financial means to attract women. Whereas if you find that same person without any character, who beats women, who is doing all this other stuff, whatever, like, if he's broke on top of that, he's looked at like the scum of the earth. And that's sick when you really think about it, that, like, yes, money can buy you out of
bad morals.
Yeah, just being a bad person altogether. And on the flip side, being attractive, once again, something that we mentioned on this podcast a lot, the pretty privilege, being attractive, having the A1 body, you know, the enhancements, this, that, and the third, all the, you know, waist training and contouring and just all the crazy stuff that women go through that, honestly, I don't think dudes even really pay attention to, but all those different things. And then, even if she doesn't make a lot of money, if she's not financially stable, if she doesn't, shoot, let's take it there. If she's not a great mother to her children, dudes bypass all that kind of stuff because they want that notch under their belt to be like, yeah, it gives them some kind of status. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think a lot of these women get wifed, which is why it's like that vicious cycle of they get back to the streets and where they still posting nonstop and all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime. Status?
Yeah, like, what is this, like, status?
Did I get bad hoes? I love bad bitches.
But, like, when I hear that, it's like a badge. Who are you showing a badge to? Like, who are you showing off, like, my...
Other men!
Yeah, like, oh, I had her, too.
Or hey, wait, we don't always want to add the two at the end. Just, oh, I had her. I don't want to be out here sharing. Like, oh, sometimes you want some exclusive.
Man, they're
like,
sharing.
Like, oh, they definitely sharing. But, they definitely sharing. But, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? It's like... I want the only pair of Space Jams. I don't want everybody to be wearing the Space Jams. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's like a notch on your belt. It's like a status of... To, you know what? I won't even say it's just to other men. It's to women, too.
I agree. Okay. I agree.
You definitely want to let the other women know, like, no, nah, I can get all this. So it would be a privilege for you to mess with me.
You agree?
Yeah. Because, like, at that point, men want to be with her, too, and women want to be her. So if that opportunity presents itself and you have a bad chick and a guy is spoiling her, the next chick is going to be like, oh, I want him to spoil me too. So, you know, then they're trying to, you know, then they're all competing for the attention of the same person.
I think it's the same way around for women though, too. Like, I'm going to get the rich guy perhaps then to like floss or like on other women. That's a good word.
Yeah, that's a word.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So like to like, you know, floss on like other women, but I'm also going to floss on like other dudes. Like, look what he can buy versus what you can buy me. And look what he can give me. He can take me on these trips and these experiences and you can't.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Or you can get me the bag or the car, or the experience or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So we like, we dating awful, hollow people to flex on strangers.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Everything is mm-hmm. done for strangers nowadays.
Yeah. For the internet.
I don't think. When's the last time you tried to flex on your friends? Exactly. Exactly.
I don't try to flex on my friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
But, yeah. but.
I'm trying to literally.
But you're rare. You're rare.
Wait. Because I was about to, you know how I like to mess with. But you are flexing on everybody else with your blazer. I wish y'all could see him, dog.
He did look. He kind of flexed
in his chest. Tony came over here flexing. I almost kicked him out of my house. like, how dare you look like you're going out on the town and we just a quick pick stop for you? Like,
no, he looks great. He looks
great. You guys want to be after this? Are we holding you up?
Go ahead, Chris.
just double checking. Oh, but yeah, like.
But people, we don't flex. I mean, the people in this room and our group of friends, out of our group of friends, the people in this room, I don't see us flexing on each other.
We motivate each other.
No, yeah.
It's never a flex.
Each other, no.
It's never a flex.
So this isn't like a everywhere kind of thing that we're talking about. This is just with a certain group of people. Like, or is it becoming the majority, like you were saying from the Instagram post? Because you're like, in this generation, it's more prevalent now.
I think that's still a thing on Instagram, though, with like people that we see every day. Like,
fuck them people on Instagram. I'm going to post a picture and look great to flex. I'm playing.
No, but like, if you see
I'm serious.
It's somebody that we all have been in a room before. We probably know who this person is, but she's always flexing everything that she has. Bag, watch, car, but never flexing where it comes from.
Who?
I'm out the loop. Do I have to hit pause?
You don't have to be a queen, but you can be a...
What? All right, never mind. We're just going to keep going because we're not going to be dropping hints.
I don't get
you. I know. Yes, I know. Yes.
I was saying that, but I was...
Okay, got you. That too. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Jeez. Yeah. I don't feel like editing.
You heard me say it?
I can hear you. Go back.
Yeah, I heard her.
Yeah. The one that don't pay for their food.
Oh.
That's an insider, though. Nobody would get that. They had to be there.
But you know what I mean? I feel like they just want to flex.
She really didn't. How you floss all this and then skip out on a group meal?
Well, that was prior to money, though. That was prior to that.
It was.
Oh. So, all
right, well, she got it now.
Yeah.
Come back, Cease.
Right.
With interest.
Right.
Yeah,
with like interest. The IRS.
But, like, she's not, I really wouldn't even say, like, she's in the group.
No, she's not in a group. I'm saying somebody that we know and we see on social media who's just doing the most just to do the most for their 1,000 followers.
But you know what? Like I've actually seen very, very recently a lot of women, and we'll get to the men later too, but I've seen a lot of like posting where it's like, oh, I'm tired of being humble with these hoes. Like, I feel like women still like create these like imaginary haters. Because to keep it real, you know,
I agree.
Most girls don't be having haters. Most people don't be having haters. But they have this like stigma where they feel like they got a chip on the shoulder. Like, oh, I got a stunt on these hoes. These hoes can't stay. I'm not being humble. And it's like, why not be humble? Like, you just got cute.
Like, I agree with you, though. I think, and a lot of times if people dislike you, a lot of times it's for other reasons, or they genuinely may dislike you
for something that you don't
even realize you did.
And you might have a whole, yeah, it might be a whole reason why that one person who you've turned into these imaginary entire group of haters doesn't like you, and it's deserved. And it's probably because you have that stank attitude that you're displaying right now.
Right.
But, you know, such is life. Now, on the men's side, let's get into the men's. So, what the men definitely men do flexing,
yeah,
and it. But the thing is, a lot of men flex the guns. Now, what I mean by that is, everybody saw the movie Baby Boy because it comes on BET 97 times an hour. Guns and butter. I'm saying the butter is the good things. You know what I'm saying? That's the stuff that has, you know, value. It appreciates, not depreciates in value. And then the, you know, the guns is just the little dumb stuff, the jewelry, the cars, and all that other stuff. A lot of niggas, like, they flex with, like, cars or jewelry or a wad of cash that they blew in the club or something like that. And at the end of the day, that's nothing to really flex. Like, that car one day is going to be old. You're not even going to, like, it's not going to be a classic. It's going to break down.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to, like, try to sell it off to somebody for, like, $200. You know what I'm saying? Like, the jewelry, it's cute. Somebody might take that from you, nigga. Like, yeah. Like, for real, like, I'm not going to hold you. There's been a couple times I've seen some couple niggas flexing, and I was like, I should rob this nigga just for GP. And I'm not even that type of nigga, but the fact that it gave me that kind of energy, I could only imagine what it would do to a nigga that's about that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say his name, but it's a dude who often flexes for no reason. Because we know him.
We know him?
I know him. I don't think y'all know him. Like, one time, I remember he posted his receipt from Wawa. And I was just looking at this dude like, you have to be the dumbest. It was six figures in there in his account. And he posted it.
He posted his PNC bank account. Wait.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here like, fam, if I... She might know.
Yeah.
But like, if I was hungry like that, if I was like a real savage, you're like type dude. You're making yourself a target. Yeah, like you making yourself a target. But like, cash just be flexing. And don't get me wrong. If that was like legit his money and all, God bless. Like, awesome. I'm glad you got it like that. But yeah, you probably shouldn't be advertising stuff like that. Like, get it and, you know, just move on. Get it and keep it in peace, or you know, do whatever you're gonna do with it. That's, but like, weird. You don't need to put that on social media. You don't need to do that. And you know, luckily nothing has happened to him, so you know, maybe nobody's really paying attention. But yeah, like, and just, I think stuff
right
like
there,
that.
What you just said right there, that's the biggest thing. Nobody's paying attention, so people do a lot of like drastic things to try to gain the attention of others who truthfully aren't paying you any kind of mind. That's
or don't wish you well. Us in this room, we wish each other well. So if I, like, remember when you was getting, like, I'm not trying to put your business out, but when you was, like, getting your new car and all that kind of stuff, we were all, like, very congratulatory that. Like, we were really happy, like, oh, Maya doing her thing. She got her businesses going. You know, she making moves. Other people are going to look like, what's she doing to get that? Or why is she showing off this? Like, everybody's not going to be looking at you in a congratulatory way.
Some people sure enough ain't like, gonna always be looking at you in a congratulatory way.
I knew that was coming.
It was coming. Maya, my friend is great. Our friend is amazing, and she's humble about it. And I think like that's what's up. But then you got the other big burly.
Mute
his damn mic. Yeah.
Let's get this fire. No.
I just think it's important because a lot of times with people like that, a lot of times we forget social media is a highlight reel. So you're going to get the best of everybody. And I think that like with me, I'm going to move the same whether I have $50,000 in my business, in my bank account, or if I have $50 in my bank account. Like, you're never going to know it. I'm going to always move the same way. And a lot of times what happens with people that floss like that is when things really hit them, because life hits everybody, let's be honest. When it really hits them, then it hits them in a way. And then that's when everyone's like, you know, making fun of them in the background and like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden you got these haters. No, it's just that you stunted on people so hard and you made people feel a certain kind of way when you got up that people are waiting to see your downfall. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes them know that you're human. So that's why it's important for people to keep that level of humility, because
drop that bomb thing, because that was free game.
That could have been a gunshot too.
There we go. I gotta start putting like little stickers on these buttons. I don't remember these.
So the blue,
yeah, blue bomb. All right, there you go. You good for something? There's some knowledge in that head.
Yeah,
I think that's true.
Yes, absolutely. People definitely sit back and wait for that slip up, because that highlight reel can only go for so long.
Right.
Like, everybody gets humbled at some point in some fashion. And a lot of times when you see a person who doesn't get humble for a long time, it's because they're going to get that grand humbling all at once. And it's usually like really bad.
Really bad.
And yeah, I personally don't care enough about other people's lives that aren't in my immediate circle for me to care whether you're up or down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, most people I follow just for GP, because I'd be feeling rude to not follow people back when they follow me. Like, GP. Dang, bro. Do we really got to...
Wait, do y'all
Urban
know
Dictionary.
Is?
Yes.
Nicole don't know what GP is.
Off principle. How about that?
Off principle?
No, I'm just saying, like, just... I follow them off principle. I'm just changing the words around for
you. Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ.
That's not... No, GP, I was looking a little... I was like, general purposes? What the... I'm like going in my head, listen, I was clueless, too.
Wait, so is this, like... Is this equally with men and women? Like, men do this equally as much as women, or do men do it more than women?
Do what?
Like, what we're saying with this, like, flex mentality and this.
Oh,
kinda,
it's both.
It's yeah, both I, equally. Both do it just
I
as
think
much.
It's, I think it's both.
With two, wait, so, okay, maybe to understand a little bit more. So, both men and women do
deep
this.
Dive. Go ahead.
So, both men and women do this the same, and men and women do it for men and other women. Like, you know, so, and then also you do it for men and other women. Y'all both do it the same.
You just
and,
do it for everybody.
But, yeah. But then, like, also, like,
you. It's a competition.
But you also use each other to flex on other groups. So I'm going to have my jewelry. I'm going to have everything, but I'm going to make sure I have the woman too to flex on other men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really love. You're just using me as, like, another kind of, like, check on your belt.
Exactly. Yes. That's why I said that. It goes back to, I'm not a prostitute.
I don't like, Nicole, that's a strong word.
Right, that's a strong word. Like, won't you say trophy? You're not a trophy.
But let's be real. Like, some of the music we listen to does push that. Like, what's that one layer? And
what's my favorite word?
Or pay me for it.
Oh, like, but I was heard talk about that.
But I'm saying, but it's real. Like, in music, I feel like music.
Jazz. I love that.
But music enhances that, though. Like, some people who have, like, minds that, you
music
know.
Music sets the momentum.
Exactly.
For a lot of the, what gets perpetuated on social media.
Exactly. Like, oh, I'll give you head, buy me this bag. Like, what? That's prostitution. Let's call it what it is.
It's a transaction. It's a transaction by another name. Okay. That's all.
I'll take a all. Transaction.
Because all it is, everything that men and women do for each other is transactional in some frame of reference.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree.
If I mean, like, listen,
true.
Me taking you out to dinner and on vacations and all that, like, yeah, I eventually want some, so just some people get Wait. Straight to the point and just be like, here.
Those experiences and those gifts are only for, or yeah. they're to lead up to.
I'm not saying that it's only.
Yeah. And I think it's different too if you're, like, in a long-term relationship versus, like, you're dating somebody. Like, if you're dating somebody, you wanted and done, yeah, you're expecting that. You expect
Listen, if we're in the dating phase, like, you're not my girl and we go on a vacation, I'm just trying to speed up the process.
That's Sidebar, game, y'all.
Chris has never been on a vacation. So. Just throwing that out there. But yes, like that would be me speeding up the process. Like, all right, man, she's, like, really holding out. Let me just do something grand. Because, like, who's not going to, like, come up off that on an island?
You're right.
With an open bar.
You're right. All inclusive.
What? Yeah. It's going to be all inclusive. Right? Oh, man. But yeah, what else were we talking about that night? Because it was a lot. It was a lot.
Well, you made a good point of when you brought up, was it Chris Rock when he made that
about
men? That was a really good point.
Let's get into that. So I was watching a Chris Rock special, and I had seen it years ago, but you know how, like, stuff when you're young, it just don't hit the same as when you get older. So, man, Chris Rock, it's not even that he's funnier now, but he just make a whole lot more sense. Like, he's not up there with, like, the Eddie Murphy in it. Like, people don't think of him as that person. But he had this little bit where he was saying how men are the only anything on earth that the love that they receive is tied to what they can provide. Women don't have that same requirement. Women can just be women and they deserve love. Children can just be children and they deserve love. Animals and pets and dogs, and they just exist and they deserve love. But a man that cannot provide anything is looked at like, bruh, you might want to get your stuff together so that someone can love you. And I think that was very, very, very true. At the essence of what he was trying to say or what he was conveying. Because, yeah, if a man does not provide, especially financially, he's not fit to be. People always say, oh, you shouldn't be dating if you don't have your finances and all that kind of stuff together. Which, you know, I guess we can all kind of see the rationale behind that. But if you don't date, that means nobody's like really giving you affection. Like you deserve, you get love from your family, mm-hmm. your friends, but like that love that we crave, how you gonna get it if you're not allowed to date because you ain't got no money right now? Mm-hmm. But women can date and they ain't got no money.
Yes, they can. They, we get free everything.
Everything. I'm glad you admitted that.
I did.
This is why we're friends.
I'm gonna tell the truth.
Like, Nicole. No, I was about to say something, but it was going to be untrue. I pay for Nicole, and we just friends. But Nicole does come out the purse.
Yeah, I
receive every now and then. Yeah. She do her thing. Yeah. So I ain't going to play you. You a real one. Hold it down. Never change. But yeah, like women, they don't have to, you know, have everything together. They don't have to have their own place. They don't have to have their own car to, you know, still go out and date. Children, you know, obviously we're not talking in a dating space, but everyone's going to love children. Everybody's going to love dogs and all that kind of stuff. But a man without his stuff together is put out there like he doesn't deserve love. Like, do y'all think that Chris Rock was off with that? Or
I don't think he was off with that. I do feel like there are different, there between a man and a woman, there's way different burdens placed on a man when it comes to dating and being in a long-term relationship, even talking marriage. But I think it also, it goes deeper than that too. Like, I think if a man's coming to me, like, no, you can't come to me without a job, without a car, without this, because I have all that. You need to be on my level playing field with that though too. So I feel like it's different ways with that when it comes to dating, but do I feel like men get the short end of the stick with a lot of things in relationships? Absolutely. And I feel like women, sometimes we do forget, like, well, we asked for this, we asked for that. But men need to be spoiled, too. They need to be dated. They need to be taken out on dates. They need to random just because gifts, affection, everything. They need all that at the same time.
And you know what a woman's rebuttal to that would be? Only a man that deserves it.
No, everybody deserves love.
Yeah, and I just think that I agree with what Nicole said 100%. And just to piggyback off of that, I also think that there's somebody out there for everybody. And I think if everyone stayed in their dating lane, then I think that, I mean, in a perfect world, you know, things would just flow better. Like, there's guys out here that don't have it together. And there's also women that don't have it together. So they those should be two together. Should be together.
Like, it's the blind leading the blind.
Exactly. Like, those two should be together. Like, I just think that, like, because if a woman has her stuff together, it's unfair for her, like, a guy to try to, like,
do you think that promotes kind of like a hierarchy when it comes to dating?
Could you explain hierarchy a little bit more?
So, or just like class levels. Like, you know how we're all separated by class. Like, there's the upper class, middle class, lower class. So when you say you should stay in your dating lane, it's like, you know, it's kind of looked at in a negative way when a person of a certain, that's considered high class or in the upper class, looks down on the middle class. We have a problem with that all the time when it comes to like government issues and all that kind of thing. But when you turn around and place it into a dating space, like, a lot of people would say, who are you to tell me just because I'm in the so-called middle class tier that I shouldn't have aspirations of getting an upper class woman?
It's not that you shouldn't have aspirations of it. If you find an upper class woman that's willing to date down.
Oh man.
By all means. Like, then, okay, then you found your woman. But don't be mad if you're trying to date up and a lot of times the women aren't looking at you for that, because it's like, okay, if this is the type of woman that you know you want to be with, or this caliber of woman, what do you need to do to get there?
You need to rise up to
it. Exactly. And you should be trying to rise to the occasion. And likewise, like for me as a woman, I mean, technically we are, a lot of times women do date up. A lot of times the aspiration is there for a woman to date up. It is easier for a woman to date up than it is for a man to date up. But I definitely think that if you're a man trying to date a woman of a certain caliber, you definitely, you know, need to figure out what qualifications you need and work towards it.
So that's the only thing I have a problem with.
What?
Women don't stay in their lane at all. At all. Like, literally, there's a ritual, now, not now because of COVID, but NBA All-Star Weekend. every common girl you know will get dressed up in their best dresses, get their hair done, their makeup, all that kind of stuff. So because they think, I'm going to go to All-Star Weekend and I'm going to get me an NBA player, a baller, or somebody with some kind of status. And y'all can just go do that. And we're not supposed to say nothing. I'm in my living room, so I can say whatever I want to say. We're not supposed to say nothing to y'all. Like, oh, what? But if a man was to be like, oh, they having a women's convention, and I go get my hair, well, I ain't got no hair, but I go get my lineup, and I throw on my best outfit, and I go get me a hotel room where the women's conference is, so I can be like, look at this clown nigga, thinking that he gonna go get him a celebrity woman or an upper-class successful woman.
But let's call NBA All-Star Weekend what it is. I'm just gonna touch on it because I've been around, let's call them groupies. They're just trying to get chosen. It's not even to date. You're just trying to get lucky. You're about to be just a pound and buy. Like, that's what they're trying. Like,
they smash and pass.
Yeah, they want to be a smash and pass, thinking they're going to get lucky and be like, oh my God, he's going to fall in love with me. No, you're a pass around, hun. That's all you are. Mm. So I feel like that's a little different with women. I feel like women definitely, hands down, have the worst groupie tendencies over men. Men don't really, you know, put themselves out there.
Because I feel like we actually do know our lane. I know not going to bag Rihanna. I know this.
But women, like groupie women, would be like, nah, if I do some tricks and splits, like I might get chose. Like, so they're thinking differently, like when they go to NBA All-Star Weekends or they're waiting at football games, waiting to be chosen at the little family room.
But men allow it too.
Yeah, like, they do.
Y'all y'all want those young girls that's maybe 22, 23, 24, you know, dressed into the nines. So they get away with this. So that's why it's accepted.
Because we date bodies. Is that right? Did we just come full circle? Yeah. That's crazy.
No, but it is true. Like, what's that? What's that groupie name?
Cat Stacks.
No, not Cat Stacks.
The fact that we know.
Selena, oh, yeah, she be messing with everybody. Yeah. Like, and it'd be like a
exposes
whole
nother, them.
Exposes them. Your family's involved. She just added Snoop Dogg's wife. Like, come on, bro. You're messing with somebody who's a pass around to everybody. Offender. Why do you want to be with this chick?
There was a trailer. I didn't watch the full episode, so I don't know the full details of it. But man, it was that show Black Love that comes on OWN. It was like a trailer of like this family of like, and they were like cheating, and then like it caused somebody to like get killed, like there was like a murder involved, a suicide. Ooh. Two families was beefing. I'm like, yo, it just don't be worth all that. But like, even with that, like I'm assuming that was like a celebrity type couple thing or whatever as well. But like, there's just so much that can happen when you out here like just chasing status and all that kind of stuff instead of like chasing love. Yeah. Like, dang, I was about to say something wild. Like,
no, say it.
If they died because they would just fall in love, like some Romeo and Juliet stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like a beautiful poetic thing. But like, you just out here being a thought and somebody got bodied over it. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So, I really be going off the rails sometimes. Like, what is in this rum chata?
I know. I'm about to give me another little glass.
Fireball.
Right, we're going to hit pause on y'all. But, So yeah, that was that. I do think that it's very unfair though for men to have this standard placed upon them where they're not to receive love, not to pursue love or anything like that if there's not a financial attainment that comes before it. Because not for nothing, to get into the gender roles, not every man is going to have a great job. That doesn't mean that he's not hardworking. That doesn't mean that he's not trying. He just may be a hardworking person with a dumb job. And you know what? It happens, because that same dumb job may have been a great job 15 years ago, but times have changed and not everybody adapts to change well. And somebody might be working in a job that they're just simply comfortable with. And that makes them, God forbid, somebody loves their job. It's their passion, but they make $35,000 a year. That was cool 15 years ago. $35,000 in today's world is trash. Like, you screwed. And I'm sorry to anybody that's listening that makes $35,000. I'm not picking on you specifically. Let me be clear. I've been there, not far removed. So With that said, there's men that work hard, that are passionate about what they do, that wake up and get to it every single day. They just don't have a lot of money. But my thing is, if you have money and you love what you do, what's the issue?
I don't think there's an issue, but I think it goes off what Maya was saying. There's a person
out there. No, Maya's about to disagree with you. Go ahead.
But I'm saying, like, there's a person out there for everybody. And I feel like in most relationships, no, I'm not asking you to sit and come to me as a perfect package. What I'm asking of you is to sit and let's stand and build together and let's build each other up. I may make more money than you in the beginning, or you may come in a lower thing, but I'm asking you to have ambition. I'm asking you to have drive, have plans, and to figure it out and have a game plan of it and rise up into the best version of yourself you can be. So I don't think it's like you don't got to come.
That sounds so beautiful. The best version of you. Amen.
I'm dead.
So, well, that sounds nice. But Maya.
No, I was going to honestly say, kind of similar to what Nicole said. Okay. So I was always raised that it's not about the amount of money you make. It's about what you do with what you make. Because even like you just said, $35,000. I know people that make $35,000 a year and might have $10,000 worth of overhead versus someone that makes $100,000 a year and has $90,000 worth of overhead. So it's not necessarily about the money per se. It's more so about you being equally yoked. And when I say that, I mean equally yoked as far as your dreams, aspirations, what you guys are working towards. So I wouldn't necessarily get so hung up on that so much as it would be more so if everybody deserves to be loved. There's somebody out there for everybody. So I wouldn't, like, there's some people that care about that, that there's some women out there that want a man that makes more money than them. They make six figures. They want their man to make six figures plus. But then there's other women out there that have dated men that make six figures and they realize that they'd rather be with someone that makes less but treats them better and vice versa. So there really is somebody out there for everybody. And I just, that's why I say, like, you kind of need to date. When I say date within your lane, more so not necessarily a monetary number so much as it is, are you equally yoked in terms of what you value in a person and in a relationship?
Yes. The women are holding it down. Yes. The women are talking to the people. Are you listening? I hope so. Amen. I don't even have, look, the snaps. I wish, I miss going out to poetry.
Poetry nights were dope. They were definitely dope.
I seen they was doing them on Instagram Live. I wasn't with it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't want to see you doing poetry from your living room over Instagram. You just look troubled. I almost killed myself yesterday. He's like, wait, somebody go get them. They're by themselves. At least we in a room together before. Like, I'm in a dark place. Like, turn the lights on. Help him.
I can't.
The lights on.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I need help.
That's funny.
We need more liquor.
I need more in-person church.
That's the one.
Pause.
All right.
Wait, let's get about
drink the break. All right. So the alcoholics are back. Everybody re-up, don't need a drink.
It's rum chata.
Rum chata with the fireball with the ground cinnamon, the cinnamon toast crunch over this joint.
It's a new twist. Different.
I feel like it's stuck on my teeth though.
The cinnamon.
This made me feel like grown though. Like,
you old, Nicole.
I know, but I'm saying, like, looking at it, like, this is a little, like, sit back, mind my business drink.
Sit back, mind my business drink.
On ice. Yeah, I like it.
It's on the rocks.
Well, on ice, on the rocks, whatever.
Whatever. I'm just trying to help you get cultured. You embarrass yourself. So, where was we at? I know people are going to be listening like these. I don't care.
Now we had basically wrapped up
the how women treat men terribly and like their ATM cards and they tell us to stay in our lane that we're not supposed to try to date up. Only they can date up. And if they date down, they tripping because we need to, unless you're equally yoked.
They don't end up with good deals either. Like, they do all of that to be cheated on and messed around with and all that other kind of stuff. I mean, you end up with, like,
just what side are you on, Tony? But just
right. New levels, new devils.
So. Yeah, just
new
for
levels,
possession.
New devils.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I liked what you said when we were at Tony's house.
So well, thank you so that. Much. I appreciate mm-hmm. that.
You were like how men are expected to come with all these financial things, and you were like, yeah, and women.
Oh man, you gonna try to make you say that?
I'm gonna make you repeat
that's
it.
That's great.
You gotta repeat it with a gunshot.
Great. I ain't repeat that with no gunshot. First off, I might say it, and if I do, I'm gonna whisper. I'm gonna speak in a very respectful tone.
Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest.
No. Yo, that's crazy. Wait, Nicole, wow.
I'm calling out.
Say what wait, you remind. Said. Go ahead.
All right. I said this, but
it whatever. Was real I said, shit.
Hold on. Let me take a whole swig of this drink, and then I'm going to just come out and just say it with my whole chest. Hold on.
Hey, I get prepared first.
I had to put some liquid courage in me. This is about to be one of them loud and wrong. That I was talking about, you know what I mean? But I was saying the same women that be screaming all this, you better come correct, you better come with this financial amount, you better come with this ability to provide, and you better come with all this and bring this to the table. And meanwhile, all that she's bringing to the table is somebody else's kids. I said it. Nicole hit the gunshot. I just want to let that be known. I said it. I did. I'm sorry. It is what it is. But yes, that was a very spicy moment for me. I said it in the comfort of my friends. And Nicole just want to make. Yeah, say what you said, nigga. Jeez. All right.
But
so
to give context,
what I was saying when I made that statement was that there are a lot of women who don't bring anything to the table that have high standards. And it's very contradictory. I think it's just straight wrong. And that was going back to that conversation we had previously where I was saying, like, is it okay for sometimes the man to act like he's the catch? Because I don't think it's anything wrong with dating women with children. If you know what you're getting yourself into and you make that choice, then it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, like, unfortunately, that can be seen as baggage to a different person. I didn't see it that way when I was dating women with children or a child, but everyone's not me. Some people will look at that as a burden. Like, I won't be able to move forward with this person the way I want to because I'm always going to be number two. You know, the child, I'm always going to have to deal with the child's father because, you know, if he's around, who knows what type of, you know, personality he is. Am I going to be able to mesh with that? Yeah. But these are the women that I'm speaking of that have like that type of mentality. They're the ones that will run around and be like, oh, you're not a real man if you don't want to provide for me and my children. It's like, yo, who are you to dictate what a real man is? Mm-hmm. That's not your place. To say, say what the right man is for you. There's a big difference between a real man and the right man. Unless you can find me Webster's definition of what a real man is supposed to do, then I feel like that's just a tool that gets used by a lot of women to manipulate men into doing something that the woman wants them to do. Mm-hmm. By saying, oh, you're not a real man if you don't do this. Sweetie, I'm a real man. I may not just want to, you know, date you and your three children. That's just is what it is. So I said it. Was that enough with my chest?
I don't think you was loud and wrong though.
No, okay. You weren't wrong at all. I think
but if I would have just said it and not gave any context behind it. Context. What? Listen, I'd have gunshot at myself like, yo, nigga, you bugging. Boom. But yeah, that's the context that statement was made in. And yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I stand behind it. I said it. I'm on the hill. If I die on it, I die. If I don't, if y'all feeling me, you know, hit us up in the comments. I can remember you to hit me in the comments. But yeah, we want y'all feedback on that too. But yeah, like, that's really.
I feel like I'm on that hill with you though. Like, if if I'm a woman and I'm asking for X, Y, and Z from a man, I better be coming correct myself. It was just like we were talking about before, like, sorry to say the words, really know the word for it. Pussy is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? A woman can't just come to you like, oh, I got great, you know, vajayjay, and this is what I'm offering. Like, no, what else do you offer, sis? Like, it can't just be just that. You can't just offer somebody a body either. If you want a relationship built on actual love, mutual respect, friendship, and all that, you can't just come to a relationship and just be like, yeah, I can give you great sex. Okay, that gets old after a while. What else can you give?
Dude. Like, isn't it else? Crazy that even great sex can eventually, like, get old with the one person? That sucks.
Yeah, but it's
like, even it's bomb, but it's like, but it's the same one I had. It's like, yo, I love chicken. I want to eat it 7 days a week, though. You know what I'm just saying.
I'm not on that shit.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm just,
oh my
God. Can we get some lasagna?
Oh no.
Y'all be letting me die every week.
I was like, with you till you, yeah. You went low. Like, you went a little less.
Yeah, all right. I was trying to take us to the next level. But
I'm fine with my chicken every day.
I'm not saying like that. Oh, man. See, that's why y'all trying to leave me on that verse. It's fine.
No, I'm fine.
But yeah. Yes, you're right. It is everywhere. And if that... Because even, like, the little jokes that women make about, like, he don't need a Christmas gift, he got me. Women be believing that, though. Like, they say it as a joke, it'd be like a ha-ha, but then, like, you look under the tree, and that nigga don't really got nothing under there. Like, bought him some underwear, and it's like, oh, you really think you the prize? You think you the gift? Like, no, you need to buy something.
Yeah. Unless y'all
like, do. I'll spend your man every now and then, ladies.
Absolutely.
I'll spend that thing. On his Christmas, if he bought you a $500 bag, get him something that costs $700. Just once every 5 years or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing out some suggestions.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with
that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Valentine's Day, that's coming up soon. We ain't got to get into that. I hate Valentine's Day. I hate it.
You think it's a woman-geared holiday?
Yes. Yeah. Everything is woman-dominated. Everything. We are here to spend. That's it. What does a nigga get on Valentine's Day? Vagina. What does a nigga get on a random Wednesday? Vagina. What's the difference? But I'm supposed to go buy you chocolate covered strawberries, 96 roses, take you on a trip, a vacation, pay for dinner.
No, Valentine's Day should definitely be like, you should make sure that it's shared. Like, you get me something, I'm gonna get you something too. Like, you should, it's a celebration of love. So you should be celebrating your man too. Like, you should be getting your man a gift on Valentine's Day. It should not just be a one-way street. No, I don't agree with that as well.
Maya?
I'm going to be honest, and I'm probably one of the rare women that feel this way, but I'm not really a huge fan of Valentine's Day either. I just feel as though, like, first of all, I don't like crowds. So I definitely don't like going out to dinner when everybody else is going out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel special getting flowers on a day when everyone else is getting flowers. So yes, for me, that personally, like, right, like, I would want, like, as long as you make me feel special and, like, we're in love any other day of the year, you could sit Valentine's Day out. And that's just how I feel, but, like, it should be mutual. Like, I don't have a problem doing for you and vice versa. Now, if you don't ever show me any type of affection, yeah, you're going to celebrate Valentine's Day. But for the most part, like, I'm okay with not doing all of that on that day.
And let's also, like, going off of that, stop making it like we just got to do something nice for your spouse when it's a holiday.
Right.
Do it because it's a Wednesday.
Right.
Or just a random day. Like, take that just, oh, I got to just wait till Valentine's Day. No, send them flowers at their job any other day. Get him a massage on the other day.
Right.
I like flowers.
Okay.
That's nice.
Tony, what do you think? You've been sitting over there real, right. I'm not participating.
No, I'm really with it. I understand. I'm listening.
All right. And?
I agree.
How do you feel about Valentine's Day? No, I don't.
I'm not big on Valentine's Day. I'm kind of like on the same kind of tip as both of you guys were. I'm big on, like, I need you to show me nice things all the time. I like roses. Get me roses often. So I like that.
Really?
I love roses.
I don't like roses too much. Huh? I'm not big on roses.
Shut up, Chris.
Chris, you just said you like flowers, so which flower
do you like? I like flowers.
Which flower then?
I like tulips.
Oh.
I like sunflowers.
Okay. Sunflowers are pretty.
I mean, that's mainly it. But because okay. I feel like roses are like mad cliche. Like
edible arrangements.
Oh, I love me an edible arrangement. Okay. What? Get the boy in the bread.
Whatever it is, I think it just do it for me often. Like, and then I like also like, I don't know, there's something about Valentine's. I'm not against it. Like, I'm not going to like, if the person wants to, if he wants to do something, I'm like, okay. But like, there's something about like spontaneous affection that's really like, it's like, it's just, it feels like more warming than like, oh, I'm expecting something on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm with it. I also think that I'm looking for different ways to show affection other than the standard stuff. Like, I like flowers. Don't get me wrong. Get me flowers. But I want to show other ways to show, like, this is so corny. Give me a nice 4-page letter. Like, really.
Like a handwritten letter?
Aww.
All right, Aaliyah.
And the only 4-page letter I got was from Ricky, the British guy. Hello. Yeah, he fucked up my life though. But like, yeah, he wrote me a 4-page letter, and I'm like, this is so English. This is
was it American. Like double space?
Or did
he used every line?
He used every, mind you, every Jeez. Line.
Like, I had a lot to say.
Yeah, only on 4 page, and then tore my life apart.
But yeah. I feel like that means so much more. Like something that's so meaningful, and so I can sweet. Hold on to that for so long. Like flowers are beautiful. Don't get me wrong, I love flowers, but love like flowers. They do die.
Yeah.
Like, but if you could write me a hand-paged letter or give me some a gift that means something is meaningful.
Like, hold on to experience, not like a
yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Experiences are great gifts.
Yeah. I think experiences are like mm-hmm. experiences where we can, like, there was this time that like we had went to the what's that place called, the escape room in Collinswood,
mm-hmm.
Close to Valentine's Day. It was the person I was dating, and I was just like, they was like, oh, you need to have like 6 people to go in here. Like, nah, let's do this shit, just you and I, and let's do this. I'm like, yeah, let's get this shit. Lost,
but of course,
lost. But it was like fun. I'm just like, this is such a building moment. I said, I like this better than.
But you create a memory.
Yeah, you create a memory. But then you also. You
remember it now.
Yeah, but then you also like. But then you also like, you also get the follow up, so.
What's the follow up?
We know the follow up.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you get your shit.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yikes. I have a question. So. You know how you were saying, like, you prefer spontaneous, yeah. you know, things so that it's not something that's expected, right? There's some that would argue, this is not a Chris take, but there's some who would argue a lot of the reason why they don't do as much spontaneous things is because once you start, you have to keep that up, right? So if you were to stop, it's now looked at as an indictment. As if you don't love the person as much anymore because you're not doing it as much as you used to previously. How do you feel about that? Is that a cop out, or do you think there's like some validity to that type of stance?
I don't look at like spontaneous gift giving as like you have to do it. So like so what I'm hearing, just to make sure I'm clear, like it's going to be like an expectation. Now that you're doing it, I'm expecting you to keep it up.
Yeah.
I don't think there's nothing, like nobody's telling you to give me like an expensive, lavish experience. Or
it don't have to be expensive, but it has to be spontaneous.
Yes.
So even something as simple as like flowers.
Yeah.
I start randomly, you know, getting flowers because it's Tuesday, twice, three times a month, you know, whatever the case may be. And then it goes down to once a month. Then it's once every 2 months.
And you might feel like let down.
Yeah, I can see why that could make you feel that way. But I don't know. I'm not going to sit here in front like I wouldn't ask. Like, whoa, you ain't cooked dinner in a while. What's going on?
Right.
But I also think that if relationships are work and relationships are constant work, so to show that kind of spontaneous affection, especially following a dispute or a problem that we just had or something like that, makes me know that you're still here for me and you still want to. There are many other ways you can do like to prove that, but that spontaneous experience, gift, affection given, I think that can be a way to do that. Now, I don't think this should be like willy-nilly just give it to me just because it's Tuesday. I don't want that. I want it to have like meaning to it, and I do want it to be like,
saw that you were just got a promotion at work. I saw that you didn't get that job you wanted. I saw that you just passed that class or something like. I know
you're showing that you're paying attention.
And that's what it is. Like, I cooked dinner for you today because I saw that your mom's really sick or something like that. So I really want to bring like that right there. That's the spontaneous experience or gift that I want to. And to make it seem like it's like an obligation. Like, to me, it's not an obligation because on my side, too, I'm doing that spontaneously for you, too. Like, I want to see you happy. I want to see you excited and, like, you know, comfortable in the relationship and knowing that you're being taken care of. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to, like, this is not the right word to use it. This is not the right word to use at all. I'm going to shoot it out. Like, I don't want to vilify, like, spontaneous gift givings. Like, I don't want to make it seem like it could be a bad thing. I mean, if you're giving out, like, carrot diamonds every fucking like 3 weeks. They're like, you better keep that up. But I'm just saying, like,
wait, so the big things you got to keep up?
No, I'm just saying that for that person. For me, I'm not like that. Remember, I said like I'm a different kind of.
I was about to say, you ain't getting.
But like, if you let two
carrot a year, baby, a carrot a year.
If you let 2 months go by and you ain't did shit, forget that, Dante. Home.
That's why. I was like, let me sit my.
You
didn't
have to slurp that
hard. Whoa, let's not use the word slurp.
That's what she was doing.
They can get misconstrued.
Wait, I really want to go into the second topic, though. Because Nicole...
Lead us into it. Yeah, our fearless leader.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell me about that second topic, please?
Oh, yeah. So when we were talking about, you know, there's the money topic on everything. We were talking about, and I have brought up, are we set up to fail? Mm-hmm. From the time we're younger... Do we feel like coming from our families, from our schooling, are we put in a position that we can be on a track for financial freedom or knowing how to make our money work for us or, you know, set ourselves up? Maybe we can have the best retirement plan and stuff like that. So we were touching on all of that, just wrapping the money into that. So I wanted to get your guys' feedback. Do you feel like even personal experiences where you set up to succeed from a younger age?
Do you?
I feel like we're programmed. Let's try to like use that word. I feel like we are told you got to go to school, got to graduate high school, you got to go to college right after. But me even looking at myself, I have a degree that I don't use. Granted, college was a great experience. Don't get me wrong. Do I need to be $30,000 in debt because of that experience? No. Do I feel proud that I have a degree? Absolutely. Do I need it?
No.
And I feel like in this day and age, we have so much information at our phones that I can sit and I can research different things. Like, I'm really big into reading up on investing, learning how to invest in 401ks, Roth IRAs, and all that. So I feel like I never heard about any of that in school. Mm-hmm. I didn't take
not
the
a thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I never heard mm-hmm. anything like that. Even in college, I didn't hear anything like that. But I also didn't take classes geared to that because I was like communication, HR management. It's not really, you know, business side of that. But I do feel like we don't hear things that are able to help us be financially free. It's like just to keep us in a system. Like, oh, you got to go to school. You got to go to college. You got to get a 9-to-5 job. You got to do this. You got to put your time in. You got to punch a clock. I got to work my 40 hours a week, be tired, try to enjoy my 2 days off. No one enjoys their 2 days off of work. We have 1,001 things to do. Mm-hmm. And then I got to sit and I got to retire, hopefully, by the time I'm 65 with enough money in my account just to get by.
If you make it to that.
Literally.
Maya. Because Maya, I think this means I'm turning to you because he was bred different. So can you tell me?
Come on. I mean, I'll say that I definitely think that we are all conditioned to go about life the same way. Because I'm another person that's sitting on a degree that I'm not currently using. So I definitely do think that I'll say like, as far as entrepreneurship, my dad did have his own business, so my siblings have their own businesses. But I will say that, like, over the years and just in me being in business for the last 5 years, I've learned a lot of things that I would have done, like, had I known 5 years before, things would have been a lot easier for me. So one of the things that I always say is if I ever have kids that I would not buy my child things I never had, but I would teach them things that I never knew or things that I wish I knew sooner, because it's definitely a cycle where there's a lot of things that we don't know. But I definitely think that our generation is doing an excellent job with bridging that gap, because like Nicole was saying, Roth IRAs and just different investment platforms and things that are out there, we did not really know about them, let alone hear about them. So
for me, I think it's interesting because as you were, Nicole, as you were explaining, like how, you know, the school system is basically what sets us up for that type of failure. And then with Maya's experience, hers was that, you know, her father owned a business. And, you know, that kind of steered her in the direction that she went. I don't think that it's necessarily that we're set up to fail from we are set up to fail from an institutional standpoint. But I think the households have more influence in your upbringing and what that part of it is instilled in you. I think that has not the final say, but a larger say overall. Because granted, you can go to school and you can learn whatever they're teaching you for those 6 hours that you're there. But when you come home, if your parents are teaching you, yes, I know that they're telling you that you need to go to college and get a job and do such and such, but there's another way, then that, you know, that expands your horizons. The problem is when we're in a position where we're set up to fail is that we only learn one way. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that there's other avenues that you can explore. Y'all both have degrees that you're not using. I don't have a degree at all. Tony's actually using his degree. God forbid, you know, like it's all different aspects, but we're all doing fine. You know, nobody's struggling, you know, as far as
knock
I know.
On the wood.
Yeah, I don't know where it's a wood door right there. But yeah, you know, you will knock it when you leave. But like, yeah, like, you know, we're not doing bad, but we all took different routes. Mm-hmm. And some of it was routes that you knew existed ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Some were routes myself that it was a crash course, like, you done dropped out, you better figure it out. Then there's, yeah, I got this degree, but I have a different path that I want to go, just in general, and that degree is no longer serving me.
And I'm still doing well.
Right, and still doing well in the process. And then it's you sitting over there, still going through it, still putting in the work, but still doing what you love, using that degree. Mm-hmm. So there's avenues everywhere. But where we're, I think, set up to fail is that everyone wants to do the straight line path. It's you go to school, you get good grades, you get accepted into college, you get a 4-year degree. Mm-hmm. After your 4-year degree, you get a job, which is hopefully a career. You buy a house, you get the white picket fence, you get married, you have kids, you work until you're 65, and then you hopefully have saved up enough where you can live comfortably after that. That's literally the straight line path that America teaches us.
Right.
And it's a terrible path when you really, really think about it.
Let's also say that America doesn't exist anymore.
It does not. That's an excellent point. That America is gone.
Way gone.
But the system acts like it isn't, because it benefits the system. Because it allows you to accrue hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt that you have to pay back, which you'll probably never pay back. So you're constantly indebted. So there's just an ongoing, like, just really, if every person takes out loans, like, just the amount of debt that we just start, and you're accruing it at 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I was a fool at 17. I couldn't manage a credit card.
But make that make sense, though, where I could go and I can walk into college, right? And not knowing, I think it's also fair to put that much pressure on it. We're children at 17. We graduate high school at 17. I don't know what I want to do. So I'm sitting here walking into an institution and they're letting me take out this money, but I can't walk into a bank and get a business loan.
You can't walk into a bar and get a drink.
Exactly. So make that make sense.
There's no sense, honestly, but that's also why I think education is like one of the biggest scams.
Absolutely.
In America.
It is.
And it's not elsewhere because, you know, they're smart and they're like, hey, secondary education or higher learning, should be free. Mm-hmm. So a lot of foreign countries have free education if you want to go to college. No, not America, not this capitalist system we live in, where everything is about money. Yep. Yeah. And your demise is about money. The prison to prison industrial system is about money. Everything, like the fact that you can privately invest or own prisons is nuts. Like, just think about that. Like, yo, I want to invest in prisons. Nigga, what? What kind of sick human are you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got free, and then they can sue if the prison isn't full, isn't at the capacity that it needs to be at.
That's wild.
Like, when I was starting to read about stuff like that, like, that's how you know it's not about empowerment and growth and all that kind of stuff. It's about keeping people in different classes, keeping you where you're most profitable, whether it be to the system or elsewhere, because you being successful on your own is not a priority in this country. Because if it was, we wouldn't have this incredible middle class that works their tails off, and then you'll have this 1%, 2% at the top that don't do any work, but they're just financially gaining off every struggle of everyone below them.
And when it dictates where that money goes, where it doesn't go.
The fact that we still get into, yo, how do you vote down giving people $2,000? I'm all the way back to that.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's crazy.
$600? There's nowhere in America that you can live for $600. Mm-mm. Like, not a single place. And that's the only thing we were going to get since May in a pandemic.
Yep.
So, like, yes, we are set up to fail because we have a government that does not care about us. Like, straight up. Michael Jackson was right. Like, they don't really care. That nigga was in a fake prison with a lunch tray.
That
video was real. Yo, jumping up on the tables, yelling at the cops. Yes, Mike. Mike was black as hell. I don't know what people be talking about. Mike was with us. He was for the people. He was for the people. But yes, I do 1,000% think that we're set up to fail. And that's why, even though I want a degree, I don't really feel no kind of way that I don't have it. I want to have it as a fallback. I want to have it as an accomplishment, as something that, you know, I achieved, because I'm actually one of those weird people that like school. But the fact that I don't have it, it doesn't kill me as much as I thought it would, because I don't have that school debt.
And you're honestly still progressing.
And I'm still progressing. And honestly, who knows if I would actually be using it?
Yeah.
There's so many people with those degrees that are not you, or they chose that major or minor, and at that time it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And the world changed, like it always changes. And now it's just not that profitable anymore. It's not something where if you could rewind time, you wouldn't have selected that same thing. Even if it was a passion of yours at the time, because the world just simply changed. And the fact that we live in a world where you can get a 4-year degree, put in all this work, do all this studying, put yourself in all this debt, and then get out and have to accept an entry-level job because you don't have experience is sick.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I went through. So,
yeah, like, so that's my rant on school. I'm sorry. I hate school. Like, I love school, but I don't like what it represents.
Yeah. No.
I don't like what it represents at all. And that's why, like, I feel like if you are the type of person where you can pick up a trade and be passionate about your trade, I would totally recommend somebody doing that instead of going to college.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because another thing about college is, not for nothing, you can pick a major all you want. There's going to be 10 classes that you take that have nothing to do with nothing. Mm-hmm. You're learning stuff for no reason. Like, I do not need to know about philosophy if I want to be a dentist.
God have free will.
Paper. Do you have free will? Who cares? I want to pull teeth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter if I have free will. I'm going to free will this tooth out your mouth. And then that's it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you're taking all these courses, but it's a requirement. by a system that was put in place long before you got there that is still being passed down from generation to generation, and you just got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't play the game, you don't get a degree. And that's why I always use the analogy of the game. Everything is a game. You have to decide if you want to play. And if you're going to play the game, you might as well learn the ins and outs of the game so that you can play it as best as you can. Mm-hmm. Like, whether that be you taking some shortcuts, shoot, whether you have to cheat, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just want to be in it for the long haul, whatever the case may be, you have to be ready to play this game. So once you make that decision, and sometimes you get thrown in the game against your will. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just end the game. The game just start, and you like, oh, snap. Like, nigga, let me get on my P's and Q's. But at the end of the day, either you're going to complain about the fact that there is a game, or you're going to play it to the best of your ability. Pick a side. In rant.
No, my God.
I'll be letting me rant, man. Somebody jump in. Say something crazy.
Okay. I don't know. Like, I agree. I think I've gained a clearer understanding of the system that you're talking about, specifically the education system. So I want to process two things. So the first thing is there are significant financial and wealth disparities that we have in our country. Mm-hmm. Like people, what is it, like the top certain amount of percent has more money than that certain bottom. I forgot the number, but it's a significant disproportion. So that is bad. But I know that when it comes to me evaluating the opportunities and the privilege that I did have, I didn't come from a family who, you know, had businesses or something like that. And I think that's a great opportunity, but I don't like fault my mom or my dad or something like that because A, they had me young. B, they didn't abort me. So like I'm here. So they could have did that and figured out a way to keep going with their lives and, you know, obtain that. And they still were very hard workers. They taught me other things that I felt helped me get to the point where I'm still progressing to. And those are still valuable lessons too. Do I wish that I would have learned a little bit more about like economics, especially running a business, because I want to open a business when it comes to providing assessment and therapy? Yeah, but I think the tools of hard work is something they instilled in me that allowed me to like get out there. And now you can learn it and teach it yourself, like teach it to yourself or like understand it. And then honestly, what my family couldn't do, I also extended my family and have great friends that were able to like, you know, I know I can consult with. So I do think like I don't want to like blame them, but I do see, especially within our community, we don't have too many individual families that have that kind of knowledge just passed on to their kids, right? Because systematically we're not set up like that. Mm-hmm. We're trying by each and every person to break that, and not only break that but maintain that, it make sure that it remains broken through your lineage. But that's you can only do but so much for your own family. But I think when it comes to education, I knew that. Like, I remember when I was like going to school, my stepdad had told me, he was like, you know how much money you're going to be taking out? Make sure you do what you want to do. And like, I stuck to it. I worked my behind off and stuff like that. And am I in a lot of money in debt? Hell yeah. Am I looking at ways to make sure that my debt is being able to be managed when I get out of school? Absolutely. And I think that is one thing that I had to make sure I had to choose when I went and like got accepted to a doctoral program. And I was just like, are there opportunities and avenues where I can manage my debt and they can pay off a certain amount if I work for them and provide services? Yes. But the weirdest thing that I'm finding out now is like me teaching now and being like a lecturer in college, like teaching undergraduate students is like it's such a pipeline. Like you guys were saying, like you guys come in here, you guys only one time. I'm like, hey, so like I'm getting in front of, it's like one summer I was teaching, I got in front of them, I was like, yeah, this is what I do, this is who I am, and this is the reasons why I'm able to teach you guys. I just want to get up here and just like tell them I'm teaching. I would say like half of them were disinterested, and probably like 10 or 15% were actually committed to like learning and understanding. Wow. A lot of them were like, I'm here because this is what I have to do, and I'm taking this class because this is what I want to do. And I'm like, okay, so what are our plans? How are you guys looking at like what you plan to do with this degree? And a lot of students don't know. They also have this belief that this degree is enough. And I'm like, do you guys know, like, oh, again, in our nation, it's only 30 to 40% of individuals that have a bachelor's degree. So it's still a large part of our nation don't have bachelor's degrees. And when you get up to the higher degrees, it gets even smaller. But I'm like, you guys are here. You're afforded an opportunity to do something with this. Make sure you make the right decisions.
Right.
I agree with you with saying, like Nicole, with saying like that is too young to make that decision. Mm-hmm. But a lot of, unfortunately, the system is set up to do that. And I don't want to shoot myself in the foot with this, but I remember when I was providing grades, because I'm the kind of lecturer, I'm going to give you the grade that you deserve. Like, and I give you plenty of opportunities to make sure you get a good grade. And I had talked to the person who ran the department. They were just like, Tony, you need to make sure these students at least like pass. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, if they didn't do the work, they didn't do the work. They said, no one's telling you to like give them a bad grade. I mean, give them a good grade. Just make sure they pass. I'm like, why? They didn't earn it. It was like, because we got to keep them, because this school is still a business. Got to keep them enrolled, because if you drop a certain, like, you know, degree, I mean, a letter down, you, like, your financial aid gets questioned. Mm-hmm. You probably won't come back. So giving you a D or C minus will make sure you pass, but you can't apply to no graduate program, because graduate programs only accept above a 3.5. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so I'm setting you up to make sure we can get what you want out of this. And you honestly don't know anything, and you're not competitive when you leave here, and you're going to cap at 40,000. You're going to have to work up to 40,000 and cap at 40,000 with the specific bachelor's degree that you're getting.
Right.
And I'm like, and I, to try to change that, because like a lot of ethnic minorities don't know that, I try to inform them 100% like transparency. I'm like, oh, you'll pass. Like, I'll make sure, I'm like, unless you absolutely didn't do any work that's different, mm-hmm. but you'll pass. But like, do you want to do more with this degree? And they're like, yeah, I do want to do more. I'm like, well, you have to start busting your ass right now. And you have to make sure absolutely what you want. And there is nothing wrong with taking those gap years or dropping out for a little bit and coming mm-hmm. back. There is nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. You feel as though when you're at the age, and I'm going to be done my rant too, but you feel, when I remember just trying to put myself in like 18, 19, 20, I felt so old. I felt like, oh, I need to do all this. I need to get this done. Like, this clock is ticking. Right. But now at 30, I'm looking back like, Tony, you were young as hell.
So young.
Like, young. And I'm like, I'm trying to pitch that back to myself. You guys look at me, for example, the students, they think I'm younger than what I am. But I'm like telling them, like, I am like, I have three younger brothers. All of them niggas is older than y'all. Mm-hmm. So like, that's how much older I am to y'all. Then y'all need to get out here. And if you don't want to do this, take that break. Come back if you want to. And if you don't, that is God's freaking like thing to you. Because at the end of the day, 6 months after you graduate, guess who's going to be knocking on your door for that money? And they're going to take it whether you give it them or not.
Sally Mae.
Take it regardless. And I think that having students become more informed with their decision is a better way to move through this process. Like, I want to know what businesses and what things I can do with this degree. And a lot of students don't. And they're just taking that leap of faith, expecting a lot and not committing to it, and then shooting themselves in the foot. Like, I agree with the trade. Like, I honestly wish I would fucking took up a trade.
All day.
Real shit.
All
like,
day.
Real shit. Like, real shit.
Because let's believe real. Electricians, plumbers, they're all getting to the money. Yeah.
They're good.
They're getting to the money.
And the beautiful thing of it, for me, you don't got to deal with people like that. Like, you can literally, like, get your job, show up. Okay, this is where I'm going to start working. And you work and you do your job. You don't have to do a lot of interaction with people and, oh, let's talk about the... No, forget the customer service. Let me do my job. I do my job well, and then I can go home. Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. But I also, just to add my own personal thing, because I think when you were talking about, like, you know, you see, at least if you see in your household, like, hardworking parents, like, I had two opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, I had my mom who is now a retired RN. So she had a lifelong career and, you know, was able to retire, have great pension, stuff like that. She was a nurse for
pushing 40 years, right?
42 years. 42 years. Yikes. But granted, when my mom got her stuff, it was different back then. She had to go to a 2-year nursing program. You walk out a nurse. So that's also going back to how times have changed. But then I also have, you know, a father who had businesses and stuff like that, but didn't teach me none of that. Yeah. But I feel like also seeing my mom be hardworking and stuff like that still instilled that drive in me to be like, listen, I want to try to build knowledge within myself to be able to do better. What can I do to put myself in this position? Hey, I did go to school. Let's recognize what happened. I did go to school. Love school. Great experience. Did I need to go? No. Do I feel like if I maybe would have took a step back after high school and been like, hey, let me reevaluate. And let's not put like a bad, I think also too, sometimes people's parents and like living situations, they put a pressure on you to be like, well, you need to make a career. No, I really think if you want to be happy, mm-hmm. you should do something that matches what you're passionate with. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't just have to be like, oh, I got to punch a 9 to 5 and I got to just do this, this and that. Like, what makes you happy? What do you enjoy doing? Or at least do it as a side hustle and, you know, take that up. But I just feel like being 30 and being just raw with how it is, if I would have been able to, after high school, just take a step back, take time off, maybe in between, like, do stupid classes in between, like, the electives and stuff that, you know, little classes of that. And then maybe been like, okay, well, maybe this is what I want to do. Maybe by, like, 2021, like, when I was that age, maybe I would have had a better idea and got a different degree or took a different route. Like, boy, I got my real estate license last year mm-hmm. as another avenue to be able to create money for myself and stuff like that, too. Even in real estate school, I'm going to keep it real. Real estate school is way different than having your real estate license. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at like meets and bounds, and that's nothing to do when you have like you're actually in the real estate world. So I just feel like if coming from a younger age and taking less pressure off ourselves and being able to really evaluate, okay, what could I see myself maybe enjoy doing or take time out and figure it out, take up a trade, take up something I'm passionate about, or maybe have, Chris, what you were saying too, an in-between job that is okay.
It's okay. Yeah. There's one thing that I think all our entire group of friends, which as you get older, you trim off the fat on your group of friends and the people you keep around with you because of certain reasons. But one of the reasons that I've trimmed down my group of friends that I find over the years is that I don't want to be around anybody who's not hungry. Mm-hmm. Like I need you. I want to see you working your, like I agree with Maya, work smarter, not harder, mm-hmm. but where you can work hard, work your ass off. And like, oh yeah, like work your ass off. And like for example, like if you want to go out there, you would like, for example, my brother wants to be a singer and he wants to do like all these things, but now he's trying to look at school, which I'm like, go ahead, go for it. But I'm like, you, from my point of view, the people that are out there trying to be singers, they are putting in the work. They are out there and you're not doing that. So I'm just like, you have to get out there and you have to commit yourself. You're shaking your head a lot.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And just kind of piggyback off what you guys were saying. I won't say that the system is set up for us to fail. What I will say is that the system is set up for those that want to be successful to take the reins. Like it's not set up to where everything you want is going to be handed on a platform. I think like everyone is kind of echoing the terms, of the sentiments of hard work. Yeah. Everything that I've gotten in my life has been from hard work. Nothing has been gifted to me. And I'll just say that because if y'all know me, I have like 4 different jobs.
Yes.
Like I have a business, but that'll never be my only level of income. And it just comes down to anything that I don't know how to do. Anything that I don't know how to do, Google is my friend. I don't wait around for people to like, oh, I didn't know that. I wasn't taught that. Like at some point we have to take responsibility for the fact that the information highway is out there for you to learn anything you don't know. Mm-hmm. So like at some point you have to realize, okay, I want better for myself and I'm going to learn and take the steps that I need to take to do whatever that is and whatever that may look like for you. So I definitely agree. But if it were that easy, everyone would be successful. Everyone would have that trajectory to 6 and 7 figure income. So I definitely
agree. I think that's one thing that like I was telling my brothers, because they'll look at me like you got like these degrees and stuff like that. I'm like, these degrees literally it's a beautiful plaque. Don't get me wrong. It gives me opportunity. But like if I don't work my ass off even after I get them degrees, like you can still make $80,000 as a doctor, or you can make like $250,000-$300,000 and you can be up there. If that still requires hard work even after you get the degree. And if you don't have that ambition, that kind of drive, that kind of hunger and that shit that we can't teach you, like you can't. I think one thing that helped me with it, and I will say I worked my ass off, like I worked my ass off and I still work my ass off even outside of school, like working at Mac, putting like every day I was working. And I'm just like, because you A, want to maintain a certain lifestyle. I think that's the truth. I want to still build the trajectory for my school. For my like future and stuff like that. But B is like when you get modeled that in the home and you see your family, like my grandmom cleaned houses, but she cleaned houses and she made bank. Like bank. And I'm like, like seeing wads of money, and she was also raised poor and knew how to manage that money. So I think I'm like, you can be raised with like probably, not saying you were, I'm just saying like you'd be raised with like a business mindset, and they can teach you how to fuck up your money and your future and have you value a bunch of bullshit where you're going to give your money away. But like having that kind of work ethic and those kind of morals are something I do want to give my children, like a better kind of future. And I think that even though I think my childhood was great, but instilling like you get out there and you work hard shamelessly, who the fuck care if them niggas at your school might be like laughing at you or something like that because you got to get on the bus and chuck there and get your money. It's something that I can't show you. I can't teach you the value of a dollar until you get out there and you see how it is to be made and you know how hard it is to get that dollar.
Yo, I got a quick story. So I'm not going to say specifically who, but anybody that grew up in the Lindenwald school system should know who I'm talking about. So like growing up, I had like friends who their father worked at the school with us. They were the janitors. And like one person was like, he was a janitor and his best friend. He lived around the corner from me. He was a janitor along with him. And like, it's not that we ever looked down on them because of that, because they were men. Like we always looked at them, respected them as men in the community. But as we got older, you know, you do start thinking like they're janitors. You know what I'm saying? So like you kind of get that stigma of like, oh, they probably, you know, don't make that much money because they're janitors. Lo and behold, they live well. I'll put it that way. They both ended up buying large houses out of state, you know, retiring before while they could still enjoy their money and all those type of things. And it's just like there's something to be said about, yes, you see hard work, but also you, like you said, you can see what people do with that money that they make from the hard work, because obviously they had a plan in place. Whatever they were making, they knew how to budget it.
Yep.
I don't know their business as far as if they invested anything, but clearly they had some type of pension 401k plans in place as well to be able to retire when they did. And we saw them every day, and their sons do very well for themselves. They're not janitors. They're actually, you know, they have, you know, more, I guess, by word view, more appreciated jobs because they went to college and they got great degrees and they do, you know, different things, and they have their own houses and they have their own families. They're both married. They do very well. So it's definitely something to be said about when you see the hard work being put in the home, and also when there's life lessons that's being taught along with it. Because there's one thing where you can just see it and you can appreciate it from that level. But to Maya's point, I'm sure just by seeing how they turned out, I'm sure their father and their mother was telling them things that they didn't know growing up that they learned along the way, that they said, I'm going to teach you how to do things, not just as good as I'm doing, but better. And that should be the goal of every family, every parent, is to, even if you only know but so much, I'm going to teach you everything I know, and I'm going to teach you the things that I didn't know when I was coming up, and I'm going to make sure that you turn out better than I did. If I feel like if your child doesn't turn out better than you, you failed.
Yes,
absolutely. I agree.
And I hate to make that sound so harsh because I'm a person without children. So clearly I don't know the obstacles that you can endure in raising a child, you know, firsthand. I'm sure there's things that, you know, maybe beyond your control that could deter the child from going on the path that you set them on. But yes, your ultimate goal is not to make sure your child has the latest fashion, make sure they have the new Xbox, the new PlayStation, or they have iPads and all. Those things are great. And I don't think that we should. I'm not a person that thinks that a child shouldn't have those things if they know how to manage. If you know how to manage them with the child, like if you can tell them, hey, you can play Xbox after your homework's done, after you've done your reading, should be something. Yeah. So like, I'm not one of those people who's like, you know, stop giving these kids things. Let kids have nice things. Yeah. You know, it's fine. As long as you know how to manage it. But on top of that, like, make sure that they know or have the tools and the resources to better themselves beyond what you have. So that way that path continues, that cycle continues, so that it's not a cycle of negative things. There's not a cycle of broken homes. There's not a cycle of children or whoever going to prison or ending up in the system and all those type of things.
We just need to start a positive cycle and make that be the goal. Even with what we were talking about last week, when we were talking about, like, does anyone have any New Year's resolutions? And everybody was kind of like, I just want to continue on the path that I'm on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're already doing the right thing, you don't always have to start over every year.
Absolutely.
You don't have to reset every year and, well, I got to fix this. If you took care of business the year before, it would just be a building block, mm-hmm. not a restart. And we have to start laying more building blocks as a community, as a people, as family members, so that that next step up isn't as difficult as it was for you. I had a great example of hard work in the home as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I kind of got the whole, I'm going to make it work, even though I dropped out of school.
And what did you do?
I took every job I could. We were talking about it previously. I'm not a loyal person to jobs. I'm going to learn what I need to learn at this job. And if it's not serving me at that point, yep. I'm moving on to the next one. Right. And I'm going to take the resources and the learning tools that I took from this first job. I'm going to apply it to the next one. I literally, not even like pat myself on the back, I can be the absolute greatest customer service rep you have ever met in your life. I know all the ins and outs. I promise you. I will sit there and yes, ma'am, you to death, my pleasure. Mm-hmm. All, you would think I worked at Chick-fil-A. I'm slinging cable and I'm my pleasuring you. Like I, you know what I'm saying? But like it's something I learned along the way from doing in-person customer service, from doing over the phone, from interacting in positions where you're dealing with people that are above you, where you're just kind of just like, you're not really supposed to speak too much. Mm-hmm. All right, I won't speak too much. I'm going to sit back and listen. I'm going to observe. And I'm going to like, and when it's my turn to speak, I'm going to make sure I speak proudly, firmly, and with the known knowledge that I have.
Free game.
And,
free game.
And that
free
works.
Game. You got to put that. Free game,
also,
yeah.
But also, message. Literally message. But also a point on that too. When you're at, and I've learned too, I'm sorry, I just had to interject, Chris. Mm-hmm. But when you're at a job and you have leaders, sometimes your leaders teach you how to be a better leader because you take the example they're giving you and you're like, I don't want to be a leader like that.
Yes.
So I feel like just taking everything as a learning situation, like, oh, I could look at you. Okay. You might be above me at this job. I'm taking everything you're doing wrong and I'm going to do it all right.
Right.
And I'm gonna run laps around you and I'm gonna make myself like grow because of that. So I feel like looking at everything too in your life as an opportunity to step in up and be better. And how can I make myself, you know, look better, be better, know better? It's kind of just taking that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was kind of chime in too with outside of your family, I feel like you should really, and I feel like as we get older, what Tony was saying was, you shed off some of your friends, some of the dead weight, some people who may not align with what you're trying to do or what type of life you're trying to build and stuff like that. I think it's so important to have a friend group that supports you, will help you, and teach you. But and teach you, like, and I feel like if you can't sit in a room and have a real conversation with your friends about financial stuff or business or how can we be like, you know, financially free? How could we do this? How could we do that? Something you're passionate about, then why are we sitting in the same room?
Right.
Like if I could, you know, Maya, I know I could go to you for different things. Chris, I go to you different things. Tony, I can go to you different things. And it's just like, y'all can help me be better and I can help y'all be better too.
Right. Your friend circle should not come together to talk about people. Literally. It should come to talk about things, you know, opportunities,
right.
You know, things that will empower each other, help you build, you know, with each other. Because at the end of the day, like, no one, for me, I don't ever want any of my friends to feel like they're being left behind. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, sometimes, you know, my friends make jokes like, oh, you're the one with the house. That, yes, that may not be in the cards for you at this present moment, but, like, as your friend, if you ever have questions, by all means, hit my phone. Not to say that I'm some type of expert, but yes, like, if that's something that you're aspiring to do, I don't want you to feel like you're going to be left behind. How can I help you help yourself?
But also clap for your friends when it is their time.
Right.
Be supportive.
And be supportive when it's not their time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, straight up. I think that's another thing that, like, from a friend standpoint, like, I gas my friends up all the time, even when it's not accomplishment time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is just you showing up, you know, and doing what you're supposed to do. I'll be like, yo, I'm glad you're, you know, you're doing your thing. You know, Mariel, for example, you know, to drop a name.
A worthy name.
A worthy name. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, she downplays some of the stuff she does so much. And I'll be like, Mariel, you're like, you're amazing. Right. Like, I've been telling her she's amazing for years, even when she was making not too great decisions in non-workspaces. You know, I would reinforce to her, like, yo, like, you deserve better. You're going to get better. You're going to do, like, better things. And as they become, or as they come to fruition, it's just more so like an affirmation. So when I'm clapping, like, oh, you're now, you know, able to teach, you know, at different colleges, and you have your job and you've been promoted to this, it's not because I'm shocked that she's doing it. It's because I knew that it was there and now it's coming to fruition.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's important to empower your friends when they aren't at the phase where they have achieved it, because it's easy to clap for somebody when they get to it, when they get to the finish line. It's about cheering them on as they're still running the race.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh yeah, drop that. That's it.
Bomb that thing too.
Yeah,
100%. Works a long bomb. Right. Oh, man.
I mean, I think that really ties into what I think one of our earlier episodes, we talked about support systems, and I said you need to have a support network too.
Oh.
Like, and it's really important because, like, I remember, like, I was talking to my dad once, and he just like, you're doing a lot for your friends, or you're doing just too much. And I'm just like, oh, I see what this means. Like, me and my dad, we got two strong personalities, so we butt heads like Rams all the time. So I was just like, oh, I see what you mean. Like, I'm sorry that you didn't have a strong support system and of friends. I'm sorry that you never had a chance to experience that privilege. I think that's an amazing privilege to have a group of people that are not blood, but are like kind of down for you in the same kind of fashion as they're cheering you on. They're reliable. They're genuine. They're warm. You are smiling, Maya.
Because I'm not even. We have a bomb friend set.
We really do. We're blessed.
Yeah, we really are, because it's not the norm. A lot of people don't have what we have. But it definitely is something that we all clap for each other. Yeah. We all help each other. And, you know, we talk trash about each other. Like, you know, like from a goofy standpoint.
Yeah. All day.
But we have each other's back. We'll clown each other, but we have each other's back.
Right. Like Tony and his nipples out.
Yeah.
I talk trash.
Mike, your silk shirt up. Talk
But we just have like one of those great genuine friendships, and it's crazy because we've all been friends for at least what 1 to 2
well
decades
over 10
at
years.
This,
yeah, well,
at,
yeah.
well over 10, yeah,
easily.
Between 15 years,
yeah, at minimum longer, 15,
minimum 15 years, and you don't have that. So I definitely,
and there's nothing like people say, like when you, like I was telling my brother, like I keep bringing them up because I'm like, these are things that I've learned and I want to share with, like, you know, your younger family members. I'm like, all them having all them freaking friends. Mm-hmm. Trim off the fat.
All day.
The ones that are loyal, yes, and that are hardworking. They're going to like I want to make space for friends at my table, and I want to sit at their tables too. Like, you know, like metaphorically that is, but like that you're happy to push that chair up when they come here. Like, let me get my friend blah 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 in. Mm-hmm. Like, let me, like, I felt good, for example, when you bought this house. I'm like, walked in this, like, I had never seen a microwave in the wall.
I was like, this is fancy.
I said, look at this. I was like, he got a refrigerator that's not white. It is nice. The dark wood floor. All these.
He turned on the lights over here. Like, making all these different colors. I was like,
real shit. Time. Remember when you opened up, I think you got the first manager position at the.
Yes,
Steve Madden. I bought crap load of balloons. Clap for my friend. Like, genuinely happy. When you got your bins, I'm going to say it. When you opened up your business, I'm like, there's been never no time where you are like looking at my friend like side-eyed of jealousy. And there's other friends I can even talk about that are in our group too, where I'm excited for them and things like that. I'm like, because like, if you are fucking doing it, that means that like, I'm going to get up there. I look at Chris when he got his house. I'm like, remember I was telling you, Nicole, I was like, I might be able to get a fucking house one day. Like, this is real shit. This is exciting. And it's like, when you can really, I think even at this age, having experience of having those rotten apples in your friend group, you can weave out when it's just like, you're not really for me anymore. You're not really kind of supportive for me in that kind of way. And there's nothing wrong with ending that. But the ones that you do have, even outside of this room and stuff like that, because you can always have those support systems, I think those are imperative to your growth professionally too. Because I know who I can hit up when I need to do something like that. I know who I can rely on. And I know they're going to give me meaningful, true, caring kind of stuff, especially even if it's hard to hear at times. Like, Tony, button your shirt up. But
I'm
like, I mean,
I'm just saying, it's just us. Wait, he really started buttoning it. It's fine, Tony.
He's trying to be fresh, bro. He did the whole show with it unbuttoned.
Right. Like, Rico's there are 3 hours with his shirt. It's only one button.
All right, and
it's
by his name.
Why is your belly button out? Hey, yo.
But I think also too to have friends also, like, we are getting older too. So to sit and be like, yo, like, we can work out together, we can do this for our mental health, like having conversations like that too. Like, not only how can I support you with your dreams and you want to make more money, but how can I support you mentally,
with your wellness,
physically? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because Tony is definitely like my unofficial psychiatrist at this point.
It's
mad fun. Yo, you know what's funny? This is how good he's very good at his job. Yeah,
absolutely.
We would literally be sitting there talking about something totally different, and then like he'll ask you this wild question in the most subtle way. Like, so when you were going through everything, like the other day, when you're going through everything with your migraines, I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm in my head, I'm like, yo, yeah, if I eat chocolate and drink alcohol, that might trigger my migraine. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking on that level. He's like, so was it because of the stress? Or was it this? I'm like, wait, I don't know. Which one? Which came first? So now I'm over there thinking. I'm like, oh, man.
Man, I remember.
I'm on a chair. No. I didn't even realize it.
Literally, I was going through something. This was like a little bit ago. And I came to your house. And I sat on his couch. It's literally his couch if you go to his house. And you read me for Phil. Like, and I was just sitting there like, oh my God. Like, but it was in such a way that I didn't even notice it, that you were like picking it apart. But it was a good pick apart. Like, well, I needed it. But
I think the real shit is, like, there are things that I think, fortunately, through my career, I've been able to learn just with helping people who have problems. And then also learning myself a little bit more. But it's just like, why the fuck? Like, I'm not sitting here actively using therapy on y'all. Like, you just sit, like, when you listen to certain things, I'm like, maybe my friend needs to see it. Like, there's something very powerful of having a mirror put in front of you of shit that you can't see. Mm-hmm. And I love when people do that for me too. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, how can I support my friend the best way with some of the tools that I know, just to help get them on that kind of way? Like, you need this kind of service, you need that, because hopefully when it comes around, Nicole give me a freaking bust down
$100. The bust down.
A bust down.
So I, like, couldn't even tell time on that thing.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, it's bright.
I just seen diamonds.
Ooh. But I'm just saying, like, you have that circle of friends that you know genuinely care about you and are going to use their, I wouldn't say their expertise, or their kind of meaningful support to help you get through stuff. And I think that's when you really know, like, this is a good connection. This is my homie.
And a big factor with that is you have to find friends who, obviously, we all have our own thing going on. We all have our own lives. We all have our own relationships that we're trying to manage, as well as manage the friendship relationships that we have.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't know that there's a priority system that mm-hmm. gets involved with that. And I'm not going to be able to talk to you every single week mm-hmm. or every day. I'm not going to invite you to every single event. I'm not going to, you know, just be able to check in with you. It happens. Life happens, and we just can't always be on top of each other. But when you have those friends where you can go those 1-2 months without speaking, but then I hit you up,
pick up, like,
and it's fine.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, where you been?
Yeah.
Because even in the sarcasm of those type of statements,
it's some truth to it.
Yeah, it'd be some underlying animosity that they probably want to get off their chest. But instead of them approaching it head on, they try to hit you with the
passive aggressive.
Yeah, I don't need the passive aggressive. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of friends that your real friends at the core, if they know your situation and that it's not something that you're doing out of spite or anything like that, then they understand, like, yeah, I haven't heard from you in a month or so, but it's fine. What's up? What's going on?
Right. Ebony, you what, can what learn you from this. Ebony, if you're listening, like, for real, like, learn from this. It. Like, we love you.
I ain't editing nothing.
Like, you're our friend.
Hey,
if
yo.
You just fall out of that, like, we, like, you're always there. Learn from this.
So, anybody got anything else they want to bring up on this episode?
I have my rum chocolate.
I think I do like I do like the level of, as we get older, like, I do like that you said, like, even like when you get into romance.
Lord have mercy.
When you get into romantic relationships, or you get like you have kids, or you get like married, or you have like a really demanding career, or you're in school, when you can still immerse yourself in that, but still know you have a supportive friend that even though you haven't talked to in a while, and you, like a friend, like I always say, a really good friend. I'm not gonna say this name.
Oh, now you got discretion.
A really good friend is never going to put you in a weird situation where you have to like compromise your job or do something like that, or like, you know, compromise your relationship or something like that. But like, so like to, oh, not that person. Nicole would know the person I'm talking about. Yeah, we'll tell effort. But like, you, like, if as my friend, you should respect me enough to know this is something that I can't cross right now. And as a friend, you shouldn't put me in a situation in order to make me choose. Like, friends don't do that. Like, whatever you fuck you got going on, I understand that. But like, you shouldn't put me in that kind of situation. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like you shouldn't put me in that kind of situation to do that. And I just think that's what, when it breaks down to be like, okay, how much of an authentic friend or in a place where you were or to have this kind of mature friendship to understand that? Mm-hmm. And if that's a journey that you're going through, like, you know, i.e. like you wanna, like, for example, like real shit. I brought some stuff to you. I was like, hey, I feel this kind of way, but we can just talk about it and bag it. But like, I'm always going to be here to support you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think like giving that kind of, how would you say? What is that? Strong love or something like that?
Yes.
What's that word?
Tough love.
But also like, grace.
But also gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, oh, mercy and grace. Yeah. So, but like, I think that's when you really see that you are, this friend is worthy to go into the next stage of your life. Because some friends got to stop at certain stages. So,
right.
Yeah.
And we all do have to afford everyone grace.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we've all been afforded it ourselves.
Shondo.
He coming in the Hyundai. So I think that's important because, like, although, like, I'm going to self-admittedly say, I think I'm a great friend. I know I'm not always a great friend.
Yeah, me neither.
So the fact that, like y'all said, we've been sticking together, riding it out for 15 years plus. That's a testament to, you know, just the overall ability for us to adapt, because none of us are the same people that we were when we first met each other. And that's a very tough thing to manage.
And we're all different people with, even in this kind of like network. Don't get me wrong. We still are like from around the way, like not that
all
about
day,
us,
all day.
But like, we still are very different. And even like
Linda Wall's finest. Really, you're
but even when
ABC we're, Park, ABC Park. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out Arborwood though.
Oh, don't throw out Arborwood.
Put a gunshot.
What you always say.
I'm still from Coachman. Exactly. No matter what. But like, I'm just saying, like, when even like the friends that we have outside of this, when we all get together, like, for example, when you have your bonfires, there's no beef, there's no weird energy, there's no nothing. Even if it's like people that you really, for example, like you have extended friends, or you have extended friends, or God knows Nicole has an extended friend every year. So like, you got these extended friends, but I don't see you selecting no friends is when you bring them around, they're going to be beefing or like right. going to create this weird energy. And that's just a testament of the kind of people that you choose to keep around. It makes right. like, yeah. So.
And if they do get weird, we get rid of them.
Yeah. That's right. Bye, Sharday.
Oh, I love Sharday. You better cut that out. Nope. That is Tony's.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion.
You play all day.
I don't play. I love her to death, but bye, Sharday.
I love you, Sharday.
I love her too.
You're outnumbered, Tony.
Tony, you're getting put on timeout.
I know.
Because you cut.
I know. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
So anybody got to see?
I just wanted to shout out Sweet 105.
Oh, yes, yes. Look, 2 hours later.
Sweet 105 is located. It's a private events venue. It's located at 412 Sicklerville Road. It's unit 104A and 105. So there's plenty of space.
Shout out
space.
To y'all.
Hit up
shout
my girl Mashiah if you're interested. It's venue Sweet 105 on Instagram.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait. Hold on. Can you spell it?
Yeah, venue.
Just to make sure, like, everybody knows, because you try to put it in and it'll be like different. Like,
V-N-U-E underscore sweet. S-U-I-T-E. That's how you spell venue.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm just saying there's an underscore in there.
105.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Venue underscore sweet 105.
There you go. I'm just be trying to make sure. There was the last jewelry girl that you had. The
Spoil Chic.
Yeah, and I was just like, can you just spell it out? I'm just trying to
help the people.
Appreciate it.
We ain't giving Tony no more wine.
No more.
No more.
Ooh, baby.
We good. I love this episode.
It's not even the wine, it's the rum chata.
It's the rum chata.
Mixed with
that's in my veins.
Oh, this boy looks like the Hulk. That shirt about to unbutton itself right, again.
Master Mai on the drinks.
Yeah, I done clutched
Mai on the drinks.
Master Mai on the drinks.
Yo.
Mai
on the drinks.
She's available for private events. You know what I'm saying? You got to show up to the Pyramid Tire and buy some tires first.
Before
she available. You know what I'm saying? Because COVID crazy, so you got to support the Bane business first before you even get to talk to her about anything else.
Yes.
You heard? All right, we out of here.